The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chappell.
I'd like you to take your Bible, if you will, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 12, I'm sorry. We're going to read the first 10 verses. Second Corinthians chapter 12. We find the words of the Apostle Paul in verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong? God's process of renewal does not always come through less stress or less work or less ministry. It's interesting in the Bible how God uses paradoxes to teach. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Seems an odd statement. Crucifixion means death. But Paul said, I'm crucified so that I can live. Except a corn of wheat, Jesus said, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. God renews our strength through rigorous stress. If I stood for the next 30 minutes on this platform and I did this, I would look really stupid. And would accomplish very little, other than perhaps a little flexibility in my elbows. But if I took a bar and I placed some weight on that bar and I reached down and I picked it up and for just the next couple of minutes, I did this, while there would momentarily, temporarily be a breaking down of my muscles, ultimately, there would be a building of those same muscles. God wants to renew us through rigorous stress. I want you to look at God's fourfold process of rigorous renewal. We see in this passage, I believe, a fatigued soldier. It doesn't take long for the ministry to wear us out. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, the ministry is draining. It doesn't matter if you're a layman simply working in junior church or a bus route, or whether you are in full-time ministry. We all today would have to admit that there's something that goes out of us as we try to minister to people. And we often come to a conference like Leadership Conference in the summer, and quite frankly, if we were honest, we are drained. We are fatigued. Turn back to the chapter previous in chapter 11. And notice verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And while it is not exactly our experience, we can identify. And now he comes to chapter 12. And he reveals a different type of experience. He tells us of a heavenly experience in verse number 2. He said, 14 years ago I was caught up. Whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. He's not really sure what happened, even when it happened, how it happened. But he was caught up into the third heaven, to paradise. And he has a hesitant expression. He's not sure if he should even talk about it in verses 3 and 4. He repeats the matter, whether in the body or out of the body. And he said, I was caught up, verse 4, into paradise, and I heard unspeakable words, which it's not lawful for any man to utter. He's reluctant to even speak of this experience. By the way, be careful about preaching your experience. Exegesis, exegesis, exegesis. Preach the word. And there was a halted exaltation in verses 5 and 6. He thought about glorying in this experience. He thought about writing a whole chapter about it. He thought, maybe I should tell you about it. He said in verse 5, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I'll not glory, but in my infirmities, for though I would desire to glory. In other words, he's kind of in this quandary. I kind of want to boast about what happened. I kind of want to tell you about it, but there was a halted exaltation. Perhaps he was reminded of the Proverbs, let another man praise thee and not thy own mouth. A stranger, not thy own lips. Perhaps he was reminded of Proverbs 25 and verse 27. It is not good for a man to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. Perhaps he thought of Jesus' words in Matthew 23, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So here's this soldier of the cross, this great apostle Paul, and he has shared in chapter 11 and now in chapter 12 both the bad and the good of ministry. And both, I believe, have left him fatigued. And in the midst of this fatigue, we find a fabricated strike. In verse number 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. In our weariness, in our fatigue, Satan will strike. He will craft that strike perfectly for you. He's always lurking. He's always waiting for the weak moment. The last 2 days, he has lurked in this auditorium. He has moved in and out of these chairs, looking for that one that's weary. While everyone else is saying amen, he's looking for that one that's hurting. He's looking for that pastor's wife that's lost her joy. He's looking for that pastor who all he can think about is the things back home, the difficulties, the problems, the heartaches. While the choir is singing and people are rejoicing, the devil is looking. He's always walking about seeking whom he may devour. In the midst of our fatigue, he will fabricate a strike. This was a messenger of Satan. May I remind us that Satan stands at our right hand, ready to resist us. This was a physical infirmity. In verse 7, a thorn in the flesh. The flesh is susceptible. It gets tired. It gets sick. It is subject to disease. And we see a phenomenal impediment here in verse 7. He says this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me. That's a strong word. The word buffet means to strike in the face. Satan isn't just trying to detour you. He's trying to destroy you. The devil is not simply trying to trouble you. He's trying to terminate you. Seeking whom he may devour, to make to disappear. A moment ago, Pastor had folks raise their hand if they were here for the first time, and what a wonderful thing it was to see first-time people at leadership conference. I'm going to tell you, my heart was aching because I thought, who was sitting in those seats last year? Who has the devil made to disappear in these last 12 months? Who has he devoured? Who has he come and struck? And in the midst of this fabricated strike, we see a failed supplication. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord. That's a natural desire. When the strike comes, we go to the Lord. We say, God, what's going on? I'm trying to be faithful. I'm trying to do what's right. I don't understand. Why the trouble? Why the zebras? Why the lack of resource? Why is my staff? Why are my people? Why my buildings? Lord, it's a natural desire to go to the Lord. And aren't you glad you can go to the Lord? Aren't you glad that you can come boldly unto the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need? We're commanded to do so. If we lack wisdom, go to God. He spake a parable unto his disciples that men ought always to pray and not to faint, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. It's a natural desire when the strike comes in our moment of fatigue and weakness to go to the Lord and say, God, please help. And we see a nagging diligence in this prayer. I besought the Lord thrice. I've thought about that word thrice. I know it means three times, but I don't think it was simply 3 days of praying about this strike. I don't think it was simply 3 times in a prayer he asked the Lord for deliverance. No doubt this involved 3 intense seasons of prayer. Paul was practicing what he had said, pray without ceasing. He was practicing what God had said, seek ye the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. And 3 intense seasons of prayer have been offered up now by Paul. God, please help. I'm fatigued. I'm enduring this fabricated strike by the devil himself. He's trying to terminate me. He's trying to destroy me. And God, I need help. But we see a necessary denial. In verse 9, and he said unto me. When you want prayer answered, and you pray, and God says to you, that's not a good sign as far as the prayer being answered the way you prayed it. Because if he answers the prayer, he doesn't have to talk to you. He just answers the prayer. He just removes the physical infirmity. And Paul realizes here immediately, as God said unto him, that this was a necessary denial. Aren't you glad that God hasn't answered every prayer we've prayed with yes? Because if he did, that would make us God instead of him. The children of Israel, they had a request, and they were insistent about it. They said, God, we want a king. We want to be like all the other nations. God, give us a king. God said, you don't need a king. You have me. They said, no, God, we know we have you, but we want to be in vogue. We want to be like everybody else. We want a king. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed for a king. And God gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. This was a necessary denial. This was the rigorous stress. But I want you to see in verse 10 a fascinating strength. There is a divine purpose in every denied prayer. There's a divine purpose in every denied prayer. God makes no mistakes. God doesn't just haphazardly answer prayer or not answer prayer. He has a purpose in saying to us, no. And we see in verse 10 a measured sufficiency. In verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. I'm going to give you, Paul, just the right amount of grace. God is not interested in increasing your greatness. He is interested in increasing his grace in you. Pastor preached it Monday night. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God is not interested in simply making us great or building a great ministry or doing something great in us. He is wanting to manifest a sufficient amount of grace in us, a measured sufficiency, and it brings about a mature strength. In verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, God is speaking here, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Mature, complete strength. Mature and complete renewal. It doesn't come because you delegate better. It doesn't come because you work smarter. It doesn't come because the church got bigger. It doesn't come because the resources got larger. Complete and mature renewal of strength comes as a result of God's grace in a desperate and difficult moment. When you're fatigued and the devil comes with that fabricated strike and you cry out to God in desperation and you say, God, I've got to have your help. That's when you are about to be renewed. The steel can only be used in its greatest strength after it has been placed in the fire to be tempered, to be hardened. And God says in Isaiah 48 and verse 10, behold, I have refined thee, but not as silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Rigorous renewal. So Paul comes to verse 10 and he gives us a motivating statement. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. In verse 9, he said, most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm talking to people all over this room this morning that are tired. You're fatigued. You're worn out by ministry. You're ready to quit. The ministry is tough. There are disappointments. There are defeats. There's disillusionment in it. Can I tell you this morning to glory in it? You are about to be renewed. Paul said, I don't need a vacation. I need a vexation. He said, I don't need time off. I need some more trials. I need renewal. God, send another trial. Because the only way that I can be strong is when you come in your grace in my weakness. Hebrews chapter 11 is a list of fatigued soldiers. But the end of that marvelous chapter, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, and here it is, out of weakness were made strong. When you and I are in our greatest moment of weakness, you are right where God can renew you. Rigorous renewal. Let's bow for prayer.